Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? You're tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese. Brought to you by Soar Radio by way of PDP Richardson. And before we do anything, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Just because in all things we need to put God first. So we're going to start with a word of prayer. So I ask everybody who's listening, just bow your head, close your eyes, go to God with me. Father God, we come before you today, God, first of all, saying thank you. Thank you for this day, this time, Lord, for waking us up in our right mind, God. We thank you for this opportunity to come together and just have fun in you, Lord. We ask you for forgiveness for our sins, Lord, all of the sins knowingly and unknowingly, God. We ask you to just continue to grow us in you, grow us in knowledge and wisdom of you, Father God. As you just watch over the show, watch over the conversations, the questions and the answers given, Father God, that they may be inspired by your word, Lord, by your heart, God, that people may come to know you better, that someone may come to know you intimately on tonight, Father God, to surrender their life to you, God, and just open their hearts to you, Father God. As you just speak through us, Lord, watch over Michonne and I as we speak and answer the questions that we're given, Lord, that everyone may hear you and not us, God, because it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, Lord, and not about us, Lord. Ask you just allow us to decrease so that you may increase, Father God, and just do your thing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we got a good show for you today. Mixing it up a little bit. Last week, I kind of hit on the fact that I really want guys to email me questions, send me questions, tweet them out, or whatever it may be. Any questions that you may want answered. And so I got quite a few responses. We got a lot of questions in. And so even on today, that's what we're going to do. Just more of a Q&A type session to where we're going back and forth and answering the questions that were sent in. And I brought my lovely fiance on to get a woman's perspective and get another perspective and just answering those questions and responding to what you guys had to or were inquiring about. So what's up, Michonne? How are you doing today?
I'm good. Hey, guys.
So, and just to start it off, this question was kind of posed because earlier in the week, Michonne, she shared on social media, on Facebook, our love story in her own words. And so I was asked to share our love story in my words, which, I'm more than happy to do. You know, so you guys, you've heard her words, but I was asked, what's my viewpoint? What was our love story from my viewpoint? And so just... Well, it all started. back in 2011, Michonne and I had just finished college, and she was still finishing up college in Houston. We kind of linked back up, had a meet between a mutual friend, and so we kind of linked back up and started talking and dating a little bit, and we kind of got serious. We started talking on the phone a lot and just really getting to know each other and just having fun. And I wasn't saved at the time, but she was, and she had been for a long time, and I knew that. I knew that about her. That was the first thing that attracted me to her was her spirit. And she over here blushing, y'all, but her spirit. And that was the first thing that attracted me to her. So I hit her up, reached out, and we kind of linked up and started dating, but then kind of hit a rough patch and fell off. I was kind of unsure on some things, and, just being honest, it was kind of going too good for me to where it scared me. And I stepped back, and we kind of went our separate ways. But even in that time, in that short time that we talked, it was about a year that we talked and kind of dated, hung out. But I gave my life to Christ, and she played a huge part in that, because just in talking to her and coming to an understanding of what living a life for God really meant and how it wasn't, you can't do this, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And she opened my eyes to how you can still have fun and be saved. Well, we kind of fell off for a couple of years, but she was still on my mind, constantly on my mind. And so I reached out a couple of times, and she was acting like she wasn't feeling me. But, you know how, I don't know what was going on. She was acting like she wasn't feeling me. And so I kind of stepped back, and then I reach out again. Like, she stayed on my mind. God kept putting on my mind. And I would reach out every time, and she wasn't really feeling me. So I'm like, man, okay, I'm done with it. You know, she ain't feeling me. I'm not going to force it or do anything like that. But, you know, it was just one last time. It was just strong God pressing on me and to just reach out to her. And so I was praying, and I prayed hard. Like, man, I'm tired of being, you know, turned down. I'm tired of her saying, no, I don't think so. I think we should just be friends. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. No point in forcing it. But prayed about it, kind of talked to some friends and sought counsel on it. And God just really impressed upon my heart to reach out to her again. And it's just kind of history from there. And it's our love story isn't the typical in the sense that we had all of those mushy feelings in 2011. And coming back the second time around, we have those mushy feelings, but it's
a Bible based.
It's more Christ centered now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that first go around, I wasn't saved, and so, you know, I was just kind of going with the flow. And the second time around, just being having my heart centered on Christ,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of hard to. It was an adjustment for me. But anyway, that's our love story in a nutshell, in my words. So if you want to hear more about it, you can reach out. You know, you can hit me up later on. But we got some, looking over these questions, they seem pretty good questions. Somewhat kind of challenging for me because I don't really like being put on the spot. But one of the questions posed was, what would you like to see yourself What would you like to see yourself doing with your radio spot, The Recruit, a year from now? And I would have to say that I thought about this one hard, but I would have to say that I don't really know. And my reason for saying that is because this show wasn't exactly something that I planned. It was really a leap of faith. It came out of nowhere. Pete Richardson offered me an opportunity to do the show, and I prayed about it and God was leading me, you know, and I took a leap of faith and it's working out so far. But I do see it just in staying on the track that it's on. I just would like to see it I would like people to see it as an outlet, as a source of encouragement, as a source to be heard, just ordinary people. Not like you have to be a superstar or you have to be this or that, but just ordinary people being heard and helping other ordinary people and just everyday people, because everybody is ordinary when it all boils down to it. They may have a little bit more money or a little bit more fame, but at the end of the day, they're just human beings. And I just want people to see The Recruit as that, just giving them opportunity to have a voice and to get a better understanding and ultimately to grow and come to know Christ better. But moving on to the next question. Next question is, what is your best advice for newly saved Christians? So I'm going to pass this one to Michonne. What advice would you give to a newly saved Christian?
I think if I were just getting saved today and just kind of looking back over my life, I think one of the best piece of advice that I would like to receive is get into community. Community is essential to our walk, to our growth, to allowing the Lord to purge us of the things that are in us that we may have taken on before we accepted Christ. And so I would definitely say community, making sure that we have people around us who can pour into us, making sure that we have others around us who can hold us accountable, and not just to our actions, but also to getting in the Word and to going to church and praying and, you know, all of these things that lead to heart changes. I would say that we definitely need community in our lives. Another thing I would say is I think as a young Christian, it's easy to mistake, my mentor always says, busyness for fruitfulness. And I definitely don't think that is true. And so don't mistake works for growth. You know, don't try to fill up your calendar or fill up your schedule with all of these things that you're doing for Christ that you miss Christ. You know, don't try to consume yourself and try to prove to yourself and prove to others that you're sold out for Christ, but you neglect your actual relationship with the Lord. So I would say make sure that you continue to remember that grace that saved you and know that that grace is what's going to keep you and what's going to continue to sanctify you and immersing yourself in the Word of God daily, having community around you. And, yes, of course, work unto the Lord and find ways to pour back in, but that should not come, our works and the things that we do should not come before we are fully immersed in Christ. So we need to get into our words every day so that we can go out and serve and go to church and be the hands and feet of Christ. So that would be my suggestion.
No, I would just say a lot of the same thing about when you were talking about community. And just looking back at when I first got saved, and just knowing how important it is to be plugged in at a solid Bible teaching church, first of all, so that you're being fed the word and you're being fed in the community of not just a church, but also godly people around you, mm-hmm. whether that looks like family or friends or mentors, or you reaching out to different people, but just so that you're constantly able to ask questions. Because there'll be a lot of questions at the beginning. There's still a lot of questions now. There'll always be questions to be answered, but just putting yourself around people that can give you a godly perspective
to and
those questions.
And people who can point you back to Christ, right? People who can always
direct
you back to that word and not worldly opinion, but consistent getting in the word and pointing you back to the word.
And that's definitely another thing. Just and it kind of goes with that, just that community,
mm-hmm.
that godly community, those people around you that you can grow with, but also that you can experience and have fun with in being saved.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, and that's something you don't want to get caught up in. Is just looking at it like it's rules, or it cuts you off from who you are, or you lose yourself, your personality.
Mm-hmm.
But just surrounding yourself with like-minded people,
mm-hmm.
who will redirect you back when you get a little off track, or who just pour into you and feed into you the Word of God. Because I can honestly say for me, I learned a lot in reading my Bible, but I learned even more in after reading my Bible, going and being able to go and ask someone, like whether it was my parents or my brother, because they were all saved already. And so just being able to bounce different questions I had off of them, that gave me a better understanding. It's not like you're just going to read the Bible and everything just kind of flows and makes sense and just a light bulb goes off now that you're saved.
And I think that it is truly, first and foremost, our desire and our necessity to get in our word and to know our word. But like Adrian said, it is that community. I know that my mentor always says, Christ is the one who raises us from the dead. He's the one who sets us free, but it's our community and those around us who unbind us, so who unbinds us from those that sinful nature that we carry from being a sinner to a saint. And so we'll see a lot of those things shed when we're not trying to be a Lone Ranger Christian. But I guess we can jump to the next question. I'll go ahead and ask that one. Question number three, always wondered if it was something more I needed to be doing since I got saved. Had no problems giving up vices because I didn't do much. Guess my biggest hang-up is church, as in how much?
How much church? Now, this is a good question because, you know, I can remember a couple weeks ago when I had Jaquez Reese on, and a teenager, and he was saying that He related being saved to just somebody who goes to church all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's kind of a hang-up that a lot of people have is just, okay, well, I go to church all the time. I go to church all the time. But I can just in looking at my life right now in the season that I'm in, I'm in church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in my word, you know, every day. talking to different people when I'm talking to friends or anything like that, is godly conversation. But the amount of church really has, we all need to go to church because the Bible tells us to fail not to assemble ourselves together. But it's also, there's no number on it or quota that you have to meet in, okay, well, I need to go to church on Sunday, then Wednesday night, and then prayer on Friday, and, you know, I'm good. I got my three times this week. But because the church doesn't, you can't get caught up in just looking at being in the church as, okay, I'm doing church work or doing church work or being on serving on a committee or going to a Bible study, because the things of the church and doing church work is done outside of those four walls, just in the life you live and serving others and loving others and being there for each other. But there's no quota that has to be met when it comes to how much church you need.
And we are the church. I mean, you know, kind of like Adrian said, those four walls is the building, and, you know, it's the temple, and we can all attest to that and agree with that. And so a lot of times we assemble there, and that is where we come to worship the Lord and to honor him and praise him. But our worship and our honor and the praise that the Lord receives from our lives shouldn't stop on Sundays or shouldn't stop on Wednesdays, you know. Our lives should be worship. Our lives should reflect, I think, what maybe the listener is asking about church. You know, our minds should be stayed on Christ. And I don't think it's a question as to how much church, but how much is the word actually changing you? You know, how much are you changing because of what you're hearing at church? Are you immersing yourself in the word? Are you in community outside of church? Are you in your word daily? And how are you different in light of what you're getting from church, in light of the word that you're getting on a daily basis, and just not trying to subject ourselves to a legalistic mindset to where if I do this, if I do that, and I do this, then I'm worthy of the righteousness of God, but we'll never be worthy. You mm-hmm. know, it doesn't matter how many times we go to church, and like Adrian said, we're not trying to persuade anyone not to go to church. We go to church, but just trying to get away from the mindset that we can earn our self into God's good graces, because that was what the cross was for. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about, and sometimes I've even noticed there have been times where I didn't necessarily feel like going to church, but it was out of a place of obedience that I went. And so whether it was the message or whether it was the worship that I didn't too much care for, the Lord had me there for a specific purpose for someone else that day, to talk to someone, to encourage someone, whatever it may be. So I think it's important that we assemble ourselves around other believers, not only so that we can be blessed, because I think that's kind of how we go into it. What am I going to get out of this week? But so that we can be a blessing, so that us participating in the worship is a blessing to others. Us giving our testimony is a blessing to others. We're able to continue to encourage one another as sisters and brothers in Christ when we assemble ourselves, but not be subjected to how many times, because then I think it kind of goes back to a very legalistic place, and the Lord has set us free from that.
And just like Michelle was saying about, it's not about it's about what you're getting out of church when you go. And for everybody, it's really a little bit different. And some people can go to church just on Sundays, and it's like, oh my God, you know, everything about church, it just kind of filled me up spiritually to the point where it just really carries them throughout the week. They're just on a spiritual high. But some people need to go to church Monday and then back again on Wednesday because their life is, there's things that's pulling on them. And they need basically a refill spiritually, or they need to be encouraged. And so they need to go to church. And so they need to go to church more than the next person may need to, because of what they get out of church and how much more they need it right now. And so you can't look at it as if a schedule of, okay, I'm going to church on Sunday, then back on Wednesday. You may need to find a revival and be in there on Monday again, because what you're experiencing right now, you're like, man, I need to hear from God, and I need to go somewhere where I know God will be. I can go to my friend's house, but I don't know, he ain't always heavenly minded. And so you just positioning yourself in a position to hear from God when you need to hear from him. And there's no limit to, you may need to be in church 7 days a week. And some people can go to church once a week, but you do need to have a regular place of community, of coming together and worshiping.
And I would also say, too, I think that we don't need to get into the mindset of the only place I can truly, like I said, worship and also kind of get a word from God is in church. And we can really receive guidance and we can receive teaching, and all that we need is in God's word. And so, yes, sometimes we will need teaching from our pastor, or we'll need counsel from maybe a deacon who's a little bit more deeper in the word than we are, but the goal is to be self-feeders, you know, is to know how to go to the word and really pull from God's word as we go throughout our week and go through those hard times. And I think that you may find yourself needing a little, not less church in the way that it's teaching less, but you may not be so codependent on a great message or a great song so much to the point that when you're immersing yourself in your word, you're growing every day. You're seeing God. And so when you go to church, you find yourself more pouring out than anything. Mm-hmm. And we need that. We need to develop that that daily consistent habit of allowing the Lord to feed our souls. And the pastors are there, and they're incredible, and they have a lot to teach us. But at the end of the day, you know, God's word is his word, and it sits most of the time. We got 10, 12 Bibles in our houses, but we don't crack them open until Sunday. So I think it's important, too, that we understand, are we going there to be codependent? Are we going there to be encouraged? Are we going there to pour out to others? And if that's the case, just remember that God is everywhere. You know, mm-hmm. You can get a word from God anywhere, and you can pour out to others anywhere. And so when you need encouragement, you go to the word of God, and you can go a lot of times to the church because that's where your community is. Mm-hmm. You have people to pray over you. So let's go on to the next question. What are your thoughts on discipleship?
Discipleship.
Adrian?
When I think about discipleship and just think about disciples, it's, to me, it's relational. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with relationships, because just in thinking about the 12 disciples, they developed a relationship with Christ, with Jesus Christ, because they were with him consistently. They woke up with him, they slept with him, they traveled with him, they were around him, their lives were immersed in him. Mm-hmm. And so even the times when they were not in proximity of each other, everything about the disciples resembled Christ. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what a disciple is, mm-hmm. someone who resembles Christ, mm-hmm. who draws others to want to know Christ, mm-hmm. and not just converting them to a believer, but wanting them to just continually grow in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so discipleship is more of a relational thing to me, because it's not something that we can do alone. We need, like we said, that community. We need those people around us. We need people pouring into us so that we can pour into others. Because if we're on E, then we have nothing to give to anybody else. And that's why we need to constantly say in our word, constantly, you know, be fed, whether it's going to church or being around godly people, but just that community. But that relationship and the importance of that relationship with Christ, first and foremost, because that's what the disciples had. They had an intimate relationship with Christ, to where they shared everything with Christ. They ate together. They slept together. And I don't know how it can get more intimate than that. But just having an intimate relationship with Christ so that it shows, it's like dripping from you, you know, that, oh, man, it's something different about you, or it's where it just draws people to converse with you. and then everything that Christ has poured into you, it just starts pouring out because that's all you've been fed. And so it, I look at it as more of a relational type of thing, just in being a disciple.
I can agree. I definitely agree. I know that we always talk about growing in faith and increasing in love, and that is definitely one of the fruits that we see from discipleship. So if you're not growing in faith and your knowledge of Christ and you're not increasing in your love for Christ and others, then you're probably not growing as a disciple of Christ. And he's asked us to go ye therefore and make disciples, so we know that it doesn't just come when you accept Christ and, okay, now I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but it's something that takes a conscious and intentional effort to, like Adrian said, our goal is to look like Christ on this earth, and the reason that that is our goal is because we want to look so much like Christ that we are drawing people to him with our lives. And so I think a lot of times we get we have people to get saved at church, and we applaud, and we're so happy, and then we just kind of leave them out there for the wolves, you know. But that's really, it's not
right.
about.
On to the next.
Right. It's not about the actual, yes, we're grateful, we're happy that you're going to join us and you're going to be in heaven with us. But it's more than that. You know, we have work to do here while we're on this earth. The Lord has called us to look like him, to walk like him, to talk like him, to think like him. To draw people to him. And that is what becoming a disciple looks like. And so when someone is discipling me, I should always be discipling someone else. I believe that you should be praying for the Lord to show you who can I be discipling right now in my life as I'm being discipled, because that is how we grow in the Lord, and that's how we grow in the knowledge of him, that's how we grow in the likeness of him. And so that's discipleship from in my words.
And this, just like you said, just growing, constantly, consistently growing, and you grow by immersing yourself in Christ. And, you know, one of the questions that were posed is, what do we use as a measuring stick for growth? Or not even necessarily for growth, but just that after getting saved and knowing that you're doing enough, or to see if you're not doing enough, what is the measuring stick?
That's for me.
It is for you.
I would definitely say the measuring stick should always be Christ. Always be Christ. Above everything else. Not our pastor, not our parents, not our best friend who seems so holy. It should always be Christ, and it should always, always be God's word. I think a lot of the times we will leave the church, or we will leave our faith, or we will leave what we've known to be true about Christ our whole lives, because we have made people our measuring stick. We have made people what we measure ourselves against to figure out where our walk with Christ is. And that should never be the case, because people always fail. You know, pastors will leave the church. You know, adultery will happen, whatever it is. You know, we should never base our walk with Christ on pastors or on parents or on spouses. But our walk with Christ should always, always, always be measured on Christ's walk while he was on this earth, and also the word. And I just wanted to kind of give a practical scripture that kind of, if you actually are one of those type A people kind of like me that need something to look at.
Type A.
A little bit. But in Galatians 5:19-21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So I think that that's a really good measuring tool for us when it comes to, are we living in the flesh or are we living in the spirit? And then the word comes up to Galatians 5, 22 through 25, and it gives us another measuring stick, which is kind of the one based in the Spirit. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. And I think that it's easy to look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21 and get really discouraged and think, well, dang, I don't do none of that right. You know, I'm always angry and I'm always jealous and I always have fits of rage. And the beautiful thing about it is that God gives us his strength to carry these things out. He gives us his power, the Holy Spirit that is living inside of us, and he gives us the power to be joyful and to have peace and to exhibit kindness and goodness and faith. And those are not things that we have to pull up our bootstraps and do, but I think it's a really good measuring tool to kind of keep us humble and say, well, I do still have fits of rage. I'm not there yet. And there is no there yet. You know, we will never reach completion,
yeah,
on
perfection
on this side of heaven. And that may sound discouraging. It's like, well, what am I working for? And it's actually not, because the more we look like Christ and the more we emulate Christ, the more we draw people to Christ. And that's our whole purpose for being here on this earth, to please God with our walk, which comes from allowing him to renew our minds and to make us new. So our measuring stick should be the Word of God always.
And that's exactly right, because like you said, our measuring stick is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in his human form, he was the only sinless person ever. And so with someone being perfect, someone being sinless being our measuring stick, we will never measure up, because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short. And so it's really unrealistic for us to think that we're going to be just like Christ. But our goal is to be as resemble Christ as best we can, because Michelle said, the Jesus Christ is our measuring stick and the Word is our measuring stick. And in James 1, 23 and 24, it says, act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look like. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Bible should serve as. That's what Jesus Christ serves as. His Word serves as a mirror. It serves as a mirror because even in a natural sense, we use the mirror. That's our measuring stick.
Mm-hmm.
We compare, we perfect everything in our mind in front of the mirror. And every time we come back to the mirror, there's something else wrong. We fix our hair, we brush our hair, do whatever, then we come back, oh, we got something on our face. Then we walk away, we get that off, we walk away, we come back, something else is out of place. And that's what the Bible serves as, and that's why God tells us to immerse ourselves in the Word, because we will constantly be growing, because we're constantly looking at our reflection in the mirror, which is the Bible, and seeing, okay, this is what's wrong with me. This is where I fall short. And that's the measuring stick of just using the Bible, using God's Word as our measuring stick, because it is a mirror. It serves as a mirror. And I look at it just like in a practical sense of what a mirror serves for now. That's where we get everything right. We put everything, get everything in order. We get ourselves looking presentable. We line everything up, and that's what the Bible does for us. When we read the Word and we see, okay, Bible says this, and I'm doing this, I need to straighten up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our mirror.
So good. And I would say, too, that I think a temptation is to see those things and see those ways in which we fall, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we use the Word as a mirror, but then we kind of go out in our own strength and try to pull up our bootstraps and do it ourselves. Okay, I'm selfish. I need to get up and I need to figure out a way to not be selfish, to think about not being selfish all day, as opposed to really using the power that is within us, which is the Holy Spirit, and ask him to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him to reveal those things. Ask him to reveal those things in us that are selfish. Reveal those things to us that are hateful. Reveal those things and begin to complete the work that he has begun. Because the Lord never shows us anything without the intention of bringing it to its completion. And so that's another temptation, is for us to have this measuring stick and us to have this scripture and say, okay, I'm going to check that off the list, I'm going to check that off the list, because we are a society that wants to be self-sufficient, but we will never get it right. And the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is that he is the power that is working within us to change us into the likeness of Christ.
And, you know, I was over here smiling and laughing just because as Michelle was talking and saying how sometimes we walk away from the word, we walk away from the mirror and say, okay, we're going to pull up our bootstraps. I didn't like what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many ways, just like in the mirror, in a natural sense, some of us, we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't go back to the mirror. Because we're like, okay, I don't like what I see, so I'm just not looking in the mirror. I'm just be comfortable where I am. If I don't know how I look, then I'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we treat the Word of God. That's how we treat Jesus Christ when in reading. And I'm guilty of this myself. Before I got saved, I started reading the Bible, and I'm like, man, I ain't doing none of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped reading. Because I'm like, okay, if I don't know no better, I'm all right. But that's how some of us treat the Bible, the Word, because it serves as a mirror. And we come to God's Word, and we see, okay, well, it says thou shalt not lie, and that's all I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to keep lying, so I ain't going to read this no more.
Mm-hmm.
And so we walk away from the mirror because we're disgusted in what we are, in the reality of what we are, because the mirror is not going to lie to us.
And another thing I think that we do, her, one of my favorite teachers of the Word, say that we'll often try to, he used the illustration of the mirror as what shows us our flaws, but we'll often try to use the mirror to correct what's going on. So the same can be said about the Word of God. We'll read the Word of God and we'll close it and say, okay, now I'm going to be made new. But do we ever see a hair out of place, look at the hair in the mirror, take the mirror off the wall and comb our hair with the mirror? You don't fix yourself with the mirror, but it is just like the Word of God. We can't fix ourselves with the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that's indwelling within us that brings about the change. So merely reading the Word is not going to change you. Merely bringing light to the things that are out of place is not going to change you, but it is the working of the Holy Spirit within us that brings about the change, you know. So.
And that brings us to the next question of, you know, they were saying, I know I've grown spiritually as well as naturally since accepting Christ, but is that enough? Is that enough, Michelle?
Is that on me again?
That is.
Okay. I think that kind of goes back to the measuring stick question. It's the same in a way. It'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. If you're saying, is that enough for me to feel validated? Is that enough for me to feel righteous in my own standing? I feel like a lot of times we will try to judge our growth spiritually and naturally and try to figure out, okay, Lord, is this enough growth or should I do more? And it's always going to be more. It's always going to be, you always need to grow more in the Lord. You cannot get close enough to God. And however, I think we can kind of get lost in the idea that we are trying to work our way into salvation, work our way into righteousness, work our way into acceptance of God, and we don't have to do that. You know, it was because of the cross, it was because of Christ that we are believers. It is because of Christ that our slate was wiped clean. And so we don't have to go into our secret closets and figure out, okay, Lord, how can I be more pleasing? Because he's already pleased. He's already happy. It's already enough because we're pulling from Christ's work, what Christ did on the cross. That's enough. We're not ever going to be enough. Christ was enough. And so I think when we really understand that truth, that we will never be enough, but we don't have to because Christ was enough, that brings about a change in our lives. It brings about a change in the way that we look at growth. It brings about a change in the way that we serve. It brings about a change because everything that we do as believers is out of a place of thanksgiving. We're not doing anything. We're not feeding the homeless or serving the poor or witnessing to others because we're trying to earn the affections of God. We're doing that because we are so grateful that the Lord presented his son to die on the cross to be enough. And then out of that, we want to share this free gift. We want to tell everyone about Christ. Then witnessing doesn't become a something that weighs us down and something that cripples us, but instead it becomes a joyful thing because we want to tell everyone about this life of freedom that we now get to live. So my encouragement for that question is just to not so much get caught up in the, am I doing enough? It's never enough for Christ. God, but it is enough for God now because we have Christ born before us and we do it all in Jesus' name. So the more we realize that we serve out of gratefulness, we serve because we're thankful, we don't serve because we're trying to receive the approval of God, we will live such free lives.
And just piggybacking off what she said, it's kind of like going back to the mirror, knowing that we will never live up, we'll never be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And to the measuring stick, we'll never be perfect. And like Michonne said, coming to that understanding of, okay, I know I'm not going to get this perfect, but I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that understanding, you can do whatever you're doing with more joy.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it with peace. And it's just like in anything, if you go into a job saying, well, I know I suck at this and I'm going to get it wrong and all of this, the way you do it is going to your mindset on it is going to reflect it. And so if we go into living saved saying, well, I know I ain't going to never measure up, or I know that I'm not doing this good enough, then it's going to reflect that. Our mindset is going to reflect that same thing, and we just have to come to the understanding of nobody's perfect. It's never going to be enough to match what Jesus Christ did in giving his life on the cross. Nothing we can ever do will live up to that or will equal that. And so in knowing that, we just have to understand that all we can do is what we can do, give the best that we can, do the best that we can, and control what we can control.
And ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in us. And I know that I've been in a place where I've kind of gotten to a point at times where I'm like, okay, God, just a very prideful, self-righteous place, you know, very ashamed of it. But I feel like I've kind of got to a place where, okay, God, you know, I'm doing everything that you called me to do, and it's just been such a lie, But a scripture that I always go to and I always pray is Psalm 139:23. And it says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my ways. And I think that that is such a real and scary scripture to pray because you ask for the Lord to reveal to you the ways in which you are not like him, to humble you and to show you the ways in which he is working on you. And when you do, trust me, when I say he will show you. And it's just like you will be knocked off of your socks when you truly see yourself in the mirror of this word. And the way that the Lord sees us, he sees us as perfect, he sees us as righteous, he sees us as holy, because when he looks at us, he sees Christ, he sees his son. But the way that we grow in the likeness of Christ, continue to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal his ways in us and reveal the ways that we are not like him so that we can continue to grow and continue to be more like him and to draw people to him. And my mentor always asks us, is your life worth imitating? Is your life worth imitating? Does your life, can your walk look so much like Christ that people want to imitate what you're doing? And so...
And that's exactly it. And, you know, it could kind of, like you said, they were asking if it's enough. And the next question was saying, you know, I wanted more insight on Jeremiah 29:11. It was one of the most shared verses in 2013-2014. Can I use this as a motivational verse as I ask God for strength to go through my rough patch in life? That's for you,
Michonne. This one kind of kind of caught me off guard. I mean, it's a great scripture, it really is, but I've heard that it's been taken out of context so much. So I had to actually call my mentor, my community, my sisters, just to kind of get a deeper understanding of this verse. And so just kind of wanted to share my our findings on this verse. So,
and just to, in case you don't know what verse we're talking about, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end."
And if you'll read the two scriptures after that, to that.
And the two scriptures after that, verse 12 says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall seek me, search for me with all your heart."
Okay, so what was going on in this passage is that God had actually led the children of Israel into a place of exile after their disobedience, after their utter misuse of him, and they were going into a 70-year period of exile. And so after hardship, we see that the Lord tells them that he knows that he has plans for them, plans to prosper them, plans to give them hope and a future. And so my mentor always tells me that text without context is pretext. And so to know the background of that is to really know that what the Lord was saying is, I'm going to take you through this hardship. You know, you're going to go through a rough time, but to know that when you come back, you will have a whole heart and you will seek me with your whole heart and you'll find me. And so when the question that was posed to the listener was said, when I ask God for strength to go through my rough patch in life, I think a lot of times when we think about our rough patches in life, we think about the enemy, the devil. He's after me. He's got me. You know, but little do we understand and little do we know that God allows everything. Just like the enemy said that he wanted to test someone, and God said, "Well, have you tried? Have you considered my servant Job?" And that's the image that I get when it comes to the tests and trials of this world and of this life. And so, and a lot of times, the Lord will allow us to go through hardships to develop not a half heart in us, but a whole heart in us, mm-hmm. so that we can come back and we can seek him with our whole heart and find him. And so I think that, yes, I think that you have been carrying this scripture in the right context, in that you are going through a rough patch. And I just want to encourage you in going through that rough patch that it is not meant to destroy you and it is not going to destroy you. Mm-hmm. The Lord is taking you through that as a way to develop a whole heart within you. And when you when you have that whole heart, you will seek him with that whole heart and you will find him. And so I think it is a beautiful, beautiful verse. I think it is misquoted a lot, and I think it is taken out of context, but it's okay this time because you didn't take it out of context. You actually are going through a rough patch like the children that were in exile, and the Lord is actually developing a whole heart in you so that you can seek him with your whole heart. So, yes, you can use that as motivation to seek the Lord.
And this is, you know, I definitely agree with how God will position us in a place to where we have no choice but to seek him, mm-hmm. with our whole heart. Because whether we realize it or not, sometimes we're half-heartedly chasing God.
Mm-hmm.
And I say chasing God, but, you know, not as if he's running away, but just seeking God. We're doing it half-heartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And God, we always say, God, you know, God knows my heart.
Mm-hmm.
He does know your heart.
He does.
And that's why he places us in those moments to where we have no choice but to pray.
Mm-hmm.
We have no choice but to come to him or to just give it to him, because we get to the point of saying, I can't do this. I've tried everything I can do within my power. God, it's in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God places us in that position.
Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to go ahead and move on to the next question. Thank you, Adrian, for chiming in on that one. So we had a personal question from the listeners, and they said, what would you consider to be your biggest accomplishment spiritually and non-spiritually thus far in life?
Biggest accomplishment spiritually, biggest accomplishment spiritually would be really giving my life to Christ,
mm-hmm.
getting saved, and surrendering my life to Christ, but not just doing that, but actually remaining here.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, growing up, I've seen people get saved, and then they're, you know, walking with God so strong in their faith for a couple of years, and the next thing I know, you know, they're back to doing everything they were doing before they got saved. And that's something that I promised myself I would never do. I would never, you know, give my life to Christ and then try to take it back. And you know, that's, as far as a spiritual accomplishment goes, that is definitely my biggest spiritual accomplishment, is just giving my life to Christ and staying here.
Staying faithful.
Staying faithful and, you know, growing in it. Because my daddy always told me when I was little, you know, if a man ain't about his word, he ain't about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave God my word that I would live for him.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to go back on that, if I'll go back on my word to God, then, you know, what type of man am I?
Mm-hmm.
And so that would definitely be my biggest, she's over there giving me all these little googly eyes, but that would definitely be my biggest spiritual accomplishment. But my non-spiritual accomplishment would be, I would say, I don't know if it's really considered a non-spiritual accomplishment, but just in finding a wife, and that kind of ties into both spiritual and non-spiritual, but just actually in finding a wife, because just in the natural sense, being a man, and I guess growing up, I didn't really have the same mindset as, you know, most guys would say they had always dreamed about being married and how they would look and, you know, wanting a family and just wanting to be faithful to one woman. And so that was major. That was high on my priority list. And to actually be in that season now of that coming true. And she's over here doing a little happy dance. But but actually being in the season of life where that's true and I'm seeing it come to pass, I'm like, man, you know, I can remember back when I was young and just thinking of what would my wife be like, and wanting a wife like this and wanting a wife like that, and just seeing how God answered all of those prayers in one woman. And just knowing that, I mean, that's an accomplishment itself, because, I know that it's a non-spiritual accomplishment, but it also ties in with the spiritual. Because the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and that's my blessing. And, you know, I know that had it not been for my walk with Christ, then me and Michonne wouldn't be together. She probably would have tried to get at me, but it probably would have took a little bit longer. But that would definitely be my biggest non-spiritual accomplishment.
Okay. So we're going to go on to the next question. Adrian, what are your thoughts on the riots that are going on in Baltimore?
They're rioting in Baltimore?
Yep.
I can't honestly say I know all of the details of everything that's going on in Baltimore. I kind of watched clips here and there, but, you know, I can definitely understand the seriousness of the situation, but in no way do I agree with rioting as a progressive act. Because if anything, it pushes us further away in the opposite direction. I don't look at rioting, and I understand the seriousness of someone's life being taken. And, you know, like I said, I don't know all the facts of everything that went into that or anything like that. And honestly, I don't feel like anybody does or anybody ever will. But just in my thoughts on it would be, just in rioting, I mean, it's no progress at all. I mean, how can, you know, breaking into businesses and stealing and setting fire to a place of business that people work hard for, or that people have to go to work tomorrow, how can that be progressive?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bible tells us thou shalt not steal.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we're rioting and stealing, and we're claiming we're making progress. And so I don't, like I said, I don't know all the details of everything that goes into the actual case and trial, but I know that when it comes to rioting, it's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not of God, I can't sit here and condone it.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I think it's a form of mistrust when it comes to believers. I mean, I can't really speak for non-believers. Like Adrian said, it's definitely serious, and it should be taken care of. But when it comes to believers and the ways that we go about things, you know, we are peculiar people, and so us trusting and believing that vengeance is mine, says the Lord, that we will believe that and we'll take the proper precautions and act according to the word, and that we are to submit to the authorities of this land. And so definitely encouraging those who may be a part of it or maybe listening in or whatever that may be, that we can't lose ourselves or lose our identities in the hard things of this life and the things that happen, but just trust and believe and know that our God is a just God, and that that he has the final say.
And that's exactly it, just trusting in God and knowing that, hey, we, to a certain extent, we can take matters into our own hands, but the Bible also tells us to be subject to those who govern over us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to the police, when it comes to people in higher positions, when it comes to politics, you know, the Bible tells us to be subject to them, to obey the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
So when we step outside of that, we're stepping outside of God, and outside of God, you have no cover, you have no protection. And so when it comes to that, it's basically us saying, okay, God, you ain't handling this.
Mm-hmm.
You let this go wrong, so I'm going to go ahead and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But in fixing it, in trying to do anything without God, it won't prosper.
Mm-hmm.
It won't succeed. And which is why I say I can stand firm on the fact that us saying rioting is no progress at all, because it's not in the will of God. It's not in line with God's word. It's not in line with anything God told us to do. And like Michelle said, it's us trying to take matters into our own hands. But the Bible tells us to cast our cares on him. And nowhere in there did it say, except when it comes to injustice. Because the Bible also tells us in the last and evil days, this would happen. So how can we expect that not to happen? But moving on to the next question, it was a good question, but I would throw this into my show. But it says, what are your thoughts on Bruce Jenner and his transition into a woman? You being a woman, what's your perspective? And I know we're at our time, but we've been granted a little grace period on today, just to try to get as many questions answered as we can. But what are your thoughts on the Bruce Jenner situation, Michelle?
I think it's a tough situation. You know, I think it's a tough situation. I think that just like other sins and things that we struggle with, the enemy comes to attack our identity. And whether Bruce is a believer or whether he's not, the enemy comes to attack believers and unbelievers. And so I think that in the case of identity, it is so evident that he's confused. You know, he's confused, and I think I saw in some magazines now he's considering suicide and all of these things. And like you said before, I think it is the effect of the last and evil days, where the enemy comes to cause confusion when it comes to our identities, when it comes to our sexualities, when it comes to whatever, and how Bruce will be able to be used. You know, he's kind of a big name and he's on TV. How many people, how many kids, how many teenagers that are struggling with this very thing right now, struggling with these lies, are going to, I guess, get into that and associate themselves with that, and to feel like, okay, now it's okay because this man who is famous says that he's having the same issue as I am. So I think we definitely underestimate the enemy and the ways that he comes for us in learning to master our emotions and learning to not just take on whatever our feelings say, not to follow our hearts, because the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful and there is no good thing in it, and learning to truly, truly, truly look to the word for our identities. But I think another thing is for me, The funny thing about it is that the other day I was praying for just a heart of compassion for those who are walking in knowingly walking in sin. So whether that's adultery or whether that's being homosexual or whether that's having being transgender or being a liar or being a thief, whatever it is that people are just walking in that, just having a heart for them, just having a heart to not only give them truth and give them, be bold in proclaiming Christ, but just that the Lord would teach us to love them, teach us truly how to love them, teach us truly how to serve them, and not just continue to cast the Bible at them, but to serve them, and in serving them, we're building that relationship in loving them, not loving the sin, definitely not loving the sin, but loving the person, because at the end of the day, the Lord loves the person. He hates the sin.
He loves the sinner.
He loves the sinner, and so we need, I think that the Lord, I'm praying that the Lord would do a revival in the hearts of the believers, that we don't repel those who need Christ the most, but that we are the hands and feet of Christ and that we're able to show love, but we are still able to be firm and be direct in the teachings and the truth of God's word. So the Lord has called us to love, not to forgive the sin, but to love those and to bring them to Christ in that love. So,
and just like you said before about in the verse of Jeremiah 29:11 about just how God allows us to have those rough, be in those rough patches. Mm-hmm. Who's to say that Bruce Jenner, this isn't his rough patch?
Mm-hmm.
And just because his rough patch looks different than ours,
mm-hmm.
his rough patch is visible and looks, you can see it on the outside, doesn't mean that it's any more detrimental than our rough patch of lying.
And I pray that he has someone in his life who knows and loves the Lord, who isn't treating him, I don't know, who isn't casting him down, but who loves him to Christ, you know, loves him to the grace and compassion of Christ. And like I said, the Lord hates sin, so there is no excuse for that, but just someone who is able to truly be the hands and feet in his life to show him to a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And who's to say that we can't be that person?
Mm-hmm.
Because all it takes is we can do anything through social media. Why can't a tweet go viral,
mm-hmm.
encouraging him and saying, we're praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that this is a rough patch in your life. But also just being that hand that reaches out to him,
mm-hmm.
being that foot that takes a step towards him and towards, you know, being the change we want to see. And like Michelle said, we're not condoning what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
but we're understanding that just because the rough patch and the sin, his sin is evident,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that it's any bigger or than my sin,
mm-hmm.
that I struggle with. But it's up to us to love,
mm-hmm.
to be gentle. And the fruits of the Spirit, like she mentioned earlier, is gentleness.
And then to be bold and to speak about that and to say that, but to do it in love.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying don't be bold and don't talk about Christ, because what's the point of just living and not bringing up Christ, but to truly, truly, truly love and to be there for those. And I was even, there's even a ministry, and they go to different strip clubs. And what they do is they take toiletries to the strip clubs to give to the women, just little necessities that they may need to give to the women. And they do this as a way to build that relationship so that the women will then care about what they have to say about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to that saying that they don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we go in there and we're slinging Bibles and we're rebuking them and all this stuff, you know, is that going to draw them to Christ, or is us offering out a hand of love and service to them truly going to say, well, what is it that you have? Because that's what I want. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's what I want to imitate. That's who I want to be like. And so just asking that the Lord would give us a bold, bold spirit in speaking out and proclaiming his name, but also giving us just the same heart of compassion. Because if you think about it, God has to have that same heart of compassion for us when he sent Jesus down to die for our sins. And
mm-hmm.
so if he would have just had that boldness and that judgment and all that, we would not be able to go to heaven, and we would not have the ability to have that relationship with God. But because there was that judgment also mixed with that compassion and that love, we have the opportunity to live for Christ and to know Him. So.
And we've been given that opportunity to draw someone else to Christ.
We have.
And, you know, that's the entire reason of this show.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's titled The Recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we're here to do, go ye and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
But we're recruiting people to join the team, join the squad. And I just want to take this time to, for anybody, any listener out there, or anybody who you haven't given your life to Christ, or you feel that you've given your life to Christ before, but you feel like you're in a backslidden state, and you stepped away, and you stepped from under the grace of God, and you feel like you just need to rededicate and want to rededicate your life to Christ. This is the perfect time. You know, right now, tonight is the perfect time. And I just ask for you to, anyone who wants to give their life to Christ, to just repeat this prayer with me. And let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sins. I now am trusting Him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that He promised to give to anyone that came to Him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to say, we want to say congratulations. Welcome to the team. Welcome to the squad. Because that's what it's all about. And, you know, with making any type of commitment, there's always a verbal, you know, it's coming out of your mouth, but there's always a binding commitment that follows when it's signing on the dotted line. And you repeating that prayer and giving, surrendering your life to God verbally, that was your verbal commitment. But it's binding, it becomes binding in the life that you live, in every day seeking God, in every day growing in God, and just getting in your word and allowing the word to get into you. And, you know, like I said, that's what all of this is about, just being disciples. That's what discipleship is, and just being a part of a community, being a part of the team. We're all on the same team, reaching towards the same goal, but it takes all of us to reach that goal. We all have the dream and the goal of reaching heaven, but, you know, I love the saying that says teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely what it takes in order for us all to make, to accomplish our dream. And so even with that, you know, I want to be included in that. I'll be a teammate. If you just gave your life to Christ, you know, holler at me, hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter. You know, send me a picture of what you look like as a child of God, as a believer, as a convert, and as on your way to discipleship and being a disciple. You know, you can hit me up on Twitter, and if anybody has any questions that we didn't get to tonight, you can hit me up on Twitter, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, @soul_fisherman. You can send any questions there, or if you have any questions for me, you can email me at adrian@adrianreese.com, and just holler at me. Any questions, or even if it's not a question you want to answer on the show, but just want need someone to vent to or to talk to, because that's what we're here for, to help each other, to be there for each other, and to redirect each other back to Christ. And if there's a, I want to give this time to just once again say thank you to Michonne, but how would, if someone wanted to reach out to you, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, they can find me on Instagram at It's Me Michonne.
It's what?
It's Me Michonne. I'm on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook.
How do you spell it?
Michonne?
Yes, ma'am.
M-I-C-H-O-N-E. So Michonne Taylor.
That's French.
I'm on, oh my gosh, I'm on Facebook. Definitely reach out to me, and I'll just say, if you are a new believer and you accepted Christ tonight or anytime in the recent recent past, then just be intentional. You know, be intentional about praying that the Lord will bring community into your life. Be intentional about praying that the Lord will bring discipleship someone who is worthy of imitating into your life so that you can begin this amazing journey. You know, it does have it has its twists and turns, but the Lord is so faithful and he has so many promises for us in his word, and so we can rely on him to be our strength. We can rely on him to be our help. So my advice is just to be intentional, find community, reach out, pray to God for community and discipleship, and definitely reach out to me if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, concerns, complaints, just let us know.
And like she said, reach out. Join the squad, really join the squad in reaching out. Last question, who you got in the fight this weekend, Pacquiao or Mayweather?
Who's that? Who you got? What's his name, Pac-Man?
Yeah, this is our owner and creator of 7 Athletes Respectfully. This is Pete Richardson, also known as AKA Petey Pete, and you are tuned in to The Recruit with Adrian Reese. And he does have his fiance right here. He does have his fiance on the mind doing a Q&A on The Recruit with Adrian Reese. I'm sorry, we're just having a little bit of technical difficulties, but he will be calling back in here shortly so he can go ahead and get his feel and give his original tag. And I believe they were talking about the Mayweather and Pacquiao fight. As soon as they get back in, we're going to get right back live within the interview. This is The Recruit with Adrian Reese. You are now live, Mr. Reese. You are now live.
Yeah, like I said, man, I was just trying to say, they act like they didn't want to hear my thoughts on who I picked. I'm trying to help you out. But, yeah, like I said, I'm fight, you know, I'm going to have to ride with Pacquiao. I'm a Floyd Mayweather fan, but I just like Pacquiao's spirit. He's a Christian. He's a bold Christian at that. He's not from this country, but he speaks out and bold. He's done it. I've seen him do a lot of different interviews just in speaking out and speaking out on his faith. And he's a humble guy. Speaks on his faith, and so, I mean, I got to ride with that. But, you know, I kind of feel like Mayweather will pull it off, but I'm pulling for Pac-Man. But, you know, sorry about that brief interruption. But we'll be back same time next week, same time next Thursday, and you've been tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese, broadcasting on Soar Radio, brought to you by P.P. Richardson. And until then, be blessed and be real.